Welcome, everyone. Welcome to HeartShift Radio and, of course, the High Vibe Tribe, where we talk about the things that are really important to each of us who knows our place in this world. We're here with purpose, we're here with a mission, and this podcast is here to reinforce everything that you have known about yourself and are calling forth from yourself during this time. I, of course, am your host, Marcy Newman, and I have with me today a wonderful, wonderful guest who I have such a deep love for. I've grown so fond of her through Facebook. We've never met in person, but we've always had this deep connection and knowingness that we're truly one. And so I'd like to welcome you, Charlotte, to the High Vibe Tribe. And then I'd like to tell our audience a little bit more about you. But welcome.
Oh, Marcy, you know, you're such a gift to me. As you said, you know, we have a very strong connection from the first time we spoke. And I think together we can work out how we can help humanity. And I think this is so important, the work you do. And I'm just so grateful that I can spend this time today with you and your listeners.
So, without further ado, let me tell you about Charlotte Common. Charlotte is a happiness designer. I love that right off. She's a motivational speaker, a visionary, an ordained minister, and author. She's traveled the world and mingled with a variety of cultures, and her multifaceted experiences have kindled her passion, and steady yourself for this, her passion for the evolution of humanity. Charlotte is a trailblazer in supporting the unleashing of hidden potential in men and women of all ages. And she specializes in empowering those who seek to explore the mysterious, the powerful, and the rich inner castle of each person's potential. Those longing to unleash all their unique gifts will be encouraged to live the dream of their success and bliss to the maximum. Charlotte's life tells a powerful story of huge transformation made possible. And her teachings, of course, are based on her own transformational journey from what she calls misery to magic. I think that some of our listeners could probably really connect with that. Charlotte's spiritual life has set her free from the shackles of the past. And with great passion, she teaches all how to fall in love with oneself, the past, and the dream within. As I said earlier, I'm so excited to have you here, Charlotte, and we have an awful lot to talk about today. One of the things that jumped out at me as I was, you know, reading your bio and how you see yourself, of course, that whole evolution of humanity just jumped right up. And it sort of had me leaning forward, like, I want to know more about what that means to you and how it has molded who you are and what it is that you do in this world. And I know that that's a big question. You just take your time and let this all unwind. Go ahead.
Yeah. Thank you for that question, because I'm excited about it. And perhaps I have to go back to my childhood. I think a lot of our stories or the way they shape our lives come from our childhood. And I grew up in a very male-dominated society where little girls had to shut up and do as they're told. And I think on my first day at school, when I was told once again to sit still, I folded my arms and I knew my school career, that was it somehow. I don't know. I've never...
a force to be reckoned with.
That was it. I never enjoyed school. I was almost rebellious in not taking part. It was quite weird. But later on in life, I realized that I was putting on the brakes because somebody was always trying to control and manipulate me. And that's actually how I got into two marriages where I was controlled and manipulated, and I broke free from them. And I realized actually there is deep within me ever since my childhood, a freedom fighter and a person to make things better, make something out of a bad situation, transform what you perceive as a bad situation, but transform it into something good, which is not only good for yourself, but all for all those people around you too. And I think that's why I'm calling myself a happiness designer, because when you look at, or not at the moment, because a lot of people are struggling for food and are struggling financially, but society had come to a point where designer goods were really, really fashionable, and the more designer goods you had, the better. And I thought, hang on a minute, how about designing your life, designing happiness? Look at the soul, not at the outside of what you can buy, but what can you actually do to create a life from the inside out?
I love that.
I love that.
Has this answered your question?
Yes, it has. when we talk about evolution, there's always, for me anyway, you know, I see these incremental growth charts, right? And I see it sort of as, you know, step by step, this expansiveness. And I also see in my mind's eye, you know, the timeline that, you know, where we started, right, from an evolution in terms of what is taught in schools about, you know, almost from animal into the human that we are today. And, you know, it's so amazing when I speak to someone like you, where I can really feel that evolution as well. So even as you're speaking, and I had this image of you, you know, sitting at that desk, like fuming, and realizing that it's these parts of us that are the catalysts for that evolution, and they appear very, very early on in life. I think the issue is with many that, you know, sometimes it's those messages, of course, that are squashed and the most intimidating to those around us. But when we reach that place where it's, you know, kind of like, hell no, I won't go, you know, we start to say yes, right, to our own evolution. So one of the things that I love that you talk about is that we have this ability to reset. So tell me, first off, when you say reset, are you saying that we have the ability to start again? Or are you saying that we have the ability to sort of go backwards and reset? Or tell us more about your concept of resetting.
Ah, that's interesting. I love that. The concept of resetting is, or it was perhaps in my case, and it will probably, if it's happening in one person's life, it will happen in many people's lives. And so perhaps when I speak perhaps for some person who is right now anxious about the future, and let's not talk about the coronavirus situation at the minute, because that will come later. I'm sure there is something, you know, we can talk about that as well. Well, when I talk about resetting is actually learning to have self-compassion. Because if you are brought up in an environment where you are controlled and manipulated, and where your self-worth is always undermined, then you think that you are worthless and you don't even try. And I think the reset button is set when suddenly through something, perhaps through a book, through a message, through a friend or whatever, you suddenly start having self-compassion. And it just might have, could just be one little bit of self-compassion. And when you then realize, hang on a minute, what on earth happened to me? And you explore that and your self-compassion grows, there comes the point, which is even better than that, you start loving yourself.
Mm.
And that's a key factor. Yeah, that you start loving yourself and you start honoring yourself, and you will treat your body differently. You will treat your intellect differently, because suddenly you think, hang on a minute, I'm not thick and stupid. I was always told that I'm thick and stupid, but I was not allowed to be part of any conversations. So I would just switch off. And then, you know, when it counted, I was suddenly not intelligent, but I'd just basically switched off. I went to university aged 54 and I graduated aged 58. You're never too old. You know, and suddenly I finished my university course in theology with a merit, and I thought, and I did it actually in English, and German is actually my first language. So, you know, it's incredible. Once we start loving ourselves and once we have that self-compassion. And I think there was another reset button for me, and that was that I went through a very, very difficult time. I was very depressed. I was so anxious about my future, about life, about failure, about so many things. And I had a spiritual awakening when I suddenly started believing in what, call it what you may, God, the eternal light or whatever. And out of that darkness I was in, that real darkness of despair and not knowing where to turn and being so anxious, suddenly there was light at the end of the tunnel, and focusing on that light and then focusing on more love and more self-compassion, and it developed from there, Marcy.
So was there something in particular that precipitated that awakening?
My father had died. And I was nursing my father, and I was sitting there next to him, my dying father, and there was something in the room. I cannot explain what it was. Today I would say it was the Holy Spirit, because I was given strength, peace, courage. I'd never sat next to a dying person, and here it was my father, and I was on my own in that room because my mother couldn't do it, my sister couldn't do it, and I was somewhere angry with them that they left me alone. I did not want to leave my father's side, but today I understand that my mother and my sister simply couldn't do it, and perhaps I was supposed to be on my own. That's what I get now. And so during those hours, tired and alone, I suddenly wasn't alone. Because there was a strength, spirit. I get goosebumps now talking to you.
Yeah, me too. So here's what is coming up for me. Do you think, and this is not to put you on the spot, Charlotte, but do you think that maybe each of us is brought to these moments in our lives where we have the opportunity for awakening? Or do you think it's just, you know, those, there are just particular people where this happens to? What are your thoughts about that?
No, I think everybody. I think everybody has the opportunity. And again, I have goosebumps. It's just not everybody listens.
Mm.
And I think sometimes we need to go through very difficult times. This is why actually when I called difficult times bad times, I don't think there are bad times. There are times of opportunity to connect with the deeper source within. And I think we all are made in the image of God, and we all have this inbuilt satellite navigation system, whatever you want to call it, that guides us to this divine awakening. But not everybody wants to listen, and not everybody can listen, because we are in our societies, and that goes right across the world, we are so busy surviving. We are so busy trying to keep the status quo going. We are so busy in our jobs, in our daily lives. And I think now comes perhaps the moment where we can start talking about what's happening now, where the world is almost coming to a halt, that we have the opportunity to think again.
So there is no question that there is a reckoning at hand, right? Do you think that this is sort of the universe's way of bringing this opportunity for awakening front and center for each of us?
I think so. And you know what? How I see it, I'm a visionary. I see the big picture. I see that, for example, the aeroplanes are grounded. There's hardly any car on the road. There's hardly any pollution at the moment. And perhaps the universe, and I've got, again, goosebumps, the universe needed to breathe, needed to be freed for a time of all the rubbish we pump into the air. People, families are now brought home. People are going back to their own country, and they perhaps are supposed to connect again as communities. Because I see here, I'm living in the UK, and I've only just moved here less than 4 weeks ago. I see an incredible community spirit and a generosity among people and a creativity. And this leads me to the idea that we are globally, we are not fighting with weapons, country against country. Globally, we are looking at a virus we want to defeat. And we are coming together as a global family because we each have the same uncertainties. There is no way that today we can write a to-do list for tomorrow, because we don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. And what I can see is that individually we're called to connect with our source again, because there's so much panic and there's so much fear around. But globally, we are also called to cross this desert or this wilderness together. That is a huge gift somewhere, that we can come together. And perhaps the coronavirus is a terrible thing, and so many people are dying, and so many people are afraid. But those who are fighting the virus, the medical staff who are looking after the very sick people and after the dying, they're the frontline people, they're doing their job. But there are also these people like you and me, Marcy, and many, many, many people here on this planet who are fit and well and who can help balance or help to guide those who are struggling with life at the moment and give them hope.
Wait, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
So, well, you bring up a great point. And the truth of the matter is that, you know, in this high vibe tribe, mostly everybody here is recognizing that they are a light, right? That they're here on a mission, that they know that there is an expansion that must take place within them, and they're actively feeding that. Could you share with us some tips in the way that you help people to walk this journey of awakening that maybe they can share with others as well? Because we all have different people that we're in connection with. And everybody, of course, is on a different vibrational plane. I can't help but go back to that image of you sitting by your father's deathbed and the fact that in this moment there may be many people who are experiencing that very same thing, or maybe can't even be at the bedside. And they also will be brought to this opportunity of awakening through the loss of a loved one. And I know that we're going into some deep territory here. Tell me
Well,
how you crossed that threshold. So you had this awakening, you suddenly had this realization that, wait a second, there's more to life in the way that I've been seeing it. There's something within me that's coming forward. How did you take those steps across that threshold from where you were to where you were now being led to go, that others can help the people that they're touching to understand as well?
That's a very, very good question. I think for looking, I have to go back again from my background that I actually lived a lot of my childhood in fear of not being good enough, but also in fear. There was a deep fear within me, and definitely I would not ask for help. So I would just plod on, which didn't do me any good. I think when I was sitting there at my father's bedside, and it was just me and my dying father, and there was a desperation within me. I so wanted to help him, but I didn't quite know how to. And I actually had to admit to myself, and that I think is a key point, Marcy. I had to admit I'm afraid. And I'm powerless. And I think those two things, those admitting that I'm afraid and I feel powerless, that opens the door to spirit to come in. Yeah?
Yeah, for sure.
And then it opens somehow. Your inner eyes, because an inner ears, because something you can feel there is something is happening, something I have not experienced before. And that can be just very, 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 very small, just a very, very short time. But when you feel there is a change within me, and suddenly there is something from coming from the outside, which I don't understand, although it's coming from the inside, but you think it's coming from the outside.
Right.
When there is this awakening within you, then just to love it and to say thank you. I don't quite know what's happening, but thank you for this little opening. Thank you for this tiny bit of peace. Thank you for this thought I suddenly have, how I can help my dying father. And I think sometimes we override these things and we think, oh, it's just normal. But no, I think we need to find the nuances inside of us where there is this awakening, and even if it is just for a short time, and have that gratitude. And I realized then that I hooked up with my source, or what others could call intuition. And with that intuition, it grows and it unfolds and it blossoms. And then with practice, you realize, yes, this is me. This is me. There is an awakening. And the person, the controlled and manipulated person, the person who also wanted to have everything under control, that person goes more and more into the background, that part of us. And the freedom and the person who is intuitive, that person has a place to live out their new felt vocation, or whatever you want to call it.
We are in such a beautiful place here. With your permission, I'd like to go further.
Okay.
Okay. And I'd like to share a personal experience because I think it really speaks to what you're talking about and is an important thing for our audience to know. because you bring up the opportunity that takes place when there are those who we love who have departed or are departing. There is a communication that takes place within us that we have an option to either listen to or to bury as deeply as we choose. And it says things that seem maybe to be bizarre, or it says things that might be off-putting if you're listening through your human ears, but your heart knows the truth of it. And I want to share with you and our audience this experience that I had. In 2011, my youngest son was killed in a motorcycle accident, and I had just spent the evening with him. I had just had dinner with him, and where I met his new motorcycle and his new girlfriend, and we had eaten in his favorite restaurant, vegetarian restaurant, and I sat through the entire conversation in awe as he described for me how perfect his life was that he had created. He was in his senior year of college, was looking forward to expanding two businesses that he had already started and had so many plans for life. And I had this incredible opportunity when we parted to hug and kiss him and to tell him how proud I was of him and how happy I was that he was so aware of his power to create. And he did the same. He went off to take his girlfriend to a night class, and I went to teach a night class. And 2 hours later, he was killed on his motorcycle, as I said. And I remember when I was initially told, of course I was in shock, but then I was having thoughts like this. Thank God he's finally safe. I had thoughts that came into me that were, oh my God, this is everything that he's worked towards. I had thoughts like he had achieved what most people only dream of. It was 100% joy, happiness, contentment, excitement of his life. He was so happy that he felt that his life was complete, and I did too. These are things that initially I would be feeling them come up through me, and I would be embarrassed almost that here I am, his mother. I've just lost my precious child, and I'm having these thoughts of joy. And of course, not joy that he had passed or the circumstances. It was, I could feel his joy. And I remember like being in the room in the hospital, and they gave me some time to just be with him. And all of a sudden, Charlotte, I don't know if I've ever shared this with anybody. All of a sudden, I saw a light like whisking around, and I heard him say, "This is fucking awesome." And I laughed out loud. I'm sure that anyone, any of the hospital staff who might have heard me outside that room must have thought I was out of my mind. But all of this was very real. Mm. It was very real. And I'm not going to say to you that I didn't and don't continue to grieve my son. Of course I do. But I know one of the things that you talk about is how important it is for us to let go of the world that we've created so that we can be shown a different way. And I think that this work is so important now, Charlotte, and I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for what you're doing, because there are so many people who are facing exactly this. I know one of the things that I did, because I knew I had to recreate my relationship with him, and that was I burned all of his photos. And people were aghast, but I knew that I had to see him who he was now so that I could really communicate with him. And I know that that's way off, like so out of touch for a lot of people. And of course, I've since that time collected more photos, and I love looking at them now. But I know that that's who he was then. It's not who he is now.
Mm-hmm.
So what can we do to help people to be in this place where they're listening and taking action that is heart-led, rather than being constrained by the expectations of the world around us?
Oh, you do. I mean, you honestly, that story which you've just told, at the beginning, I had tears streaming down my face because I've got three children as well, three precious children. And I thought, oh, the pain Marcy must have gone through. And then when you said, and I've got goosebumps again, that you felt that his life was complete and that he felt his life was complete. And when you were talking about the light and, you know, that you burnt the photographs because you see him now as he is, this light in eternal being, in eternal life, your son turned back to the source. I mean, it's so incredibly powerful. I almost have no words for it. And I think it's so important that you told that story today in our times of great change and uncertainty and grief and sadness. I think these stories need to be told, and it's incredibly powerful. It shows, Marcy, in the most wonderful way, how you actually listen to the deepest part of yourself to be connected with the divinity of your son. That's what's coming up for me.
Yeah.
Now, people might not understand it, and I'm so proud of you, so incredibly proud of you, that you, for yourself, decided, I need to listen to my innermost being, and I need to listen to my son where he is right now. Yeah?
Yeah, no, we do. But I'm also recognizing that, so my life has been devoted to my spiritual path for a very long time. But I also know that there are probably the majority of people whose spiritual life is maybe not as robust and are going through these very difficult times, may not be able to do or experience as I have and others have, with this rock solid knowingness that the essence of us continues on and communicates and works and expands and continues to experience life. How do we, as leaders in this field, as spiritual mentors, how do we help to close that gap, to give people real working tools for being able to allow Source to lead them through their grief?
I think it is, I mean, I'd like to give people tools which are simple, because you might be in a queue at the cashier in a supermarket, and suddenly grief starts stirring in your heart, and you don't know how to deal with it. And I think I'm always going back to one simple tool, and that is to ask, to be honest and say, I am feeling like this at the moment. My grief is coming up while I'm standing at the till here. And this acknowledgement is already takes some of the pressure away. And then the next thing is to ask for help, or just simply say, I need help. Because when we ask for help, to a spiritual, to angels or whoever you believe in, when we ask for that help, we will receive it. Perhaps not in the way we like it or we know it, but something is going to happen. I need to tell you a little story there.
Please.
We were living in Canada, and due to my husband's job, my ex-husband's job, my children had to go to boarding school in the UK. And I was at Medicine Hat Airport, and if anybody knows Medicine Hat Airport, it's a very, very small airport. And I saw my two young sons boarding the plane to go to Calgary. And I stood there and I thought, here are my boys, and I won't see them for another 3 months. And I felt so unbelievably sad. And I started to cry, and I just said, Lord, I need a hug. And in that moment, I thought, how on earth can I ask God for a hug? There is none of my relatives are here. None of my friends are here. And when I looked around, there weren't very many people in Medicine Hat Airport, because it's just such a small airport. And I almost sort of was cross with myself and said, why are you saying that? But you know, out of the corner of my eye, a lady approached me, and she said to me, who were these two young boys who you said goodbye to? And I said, they are my sons. They're 12 and 16, and they're going back to boarding school, and I'm so sad. And she said to me, that must be really, really hard. I just said goodbye to my son. He's 30, and he flies to Toronto. And you know what she did? She gave me a hug. A complete stranger.
I could cry.
Yeah, complete stranger. And that shows me that actually I never expected to be hugged by a stranger at Medicine Hat Airport, but I just voiced what I needed. And I think especially for people, and there will be loads of people in this world who come from a controlling and manipulative background and upbringing, we're not used to asking for help. We're not used to voicing our opinions. And it's something people need to can be brave enough to try it and just say, I need help. This is how I'm feeling right now. And then help will come from somewhere, and then to recognize it and be grateful. Gratitude is a big, big, big door opener.
I just love how you have just sort of sifted through this and really brought us back to where we must begin this journey. And it is with self-compassion.
Yes.
We have got to, like you said, just accept where we are in that moment. And in the moment, like you said, that we ask for help, doors fly open. And we have no idea how it's going to be responded to. Most generally, it's not how we expect it, that's for sure, as happened with you and has happened with me a trillion times over.
Yeah.
But and it's always responded to.
Yeah, and I think now perhaps we could come to our current situation.
Sure.
Where so many people are suffering. So many people are suffering because they have loved ones, they are sick, they are dying. You know, it's all over the world. And, you know, and other people are suffering financially. They're suffering great loss because they can't visit relatives, elderly relatives. There might be people who've got cancer and they can't visit them. There is suffering on such a huge scale globally at the moment that all those people who've got businesses, and it's just all falling apart. And, you know, there's so much sadness. There is so much panic and anxiety. And I think, how can we, you and me, help people to look at the bigger picture? How can people who are enduring this suffering, they can't look at the bigger picture. They're just dealing with that one issue, their broken business, their dying relative, and so on. But there is a whole group of people outside in the world who right now watch the news as often as they can and pass on also all the drama stories, and it is not doing them any good. And I think there is an appeal to people to perhaps watch the news once a day, be informed, but also think about how you can be creative in the situation you're in. What I'm hearing all the time is that people drive themselves almost crazy with the bad news they're hearing all the time and passing it on. And I say, stop, stop, stop. We know the coronavirus is there. We know people are dying. We know that the medical staff is stretched everywhere. But we also know that they're trying their best to help everybody. Now, those of us who are healthy, who don't have these health issues, who do not have a company that goes down the drain, we can create something together to help humanity move forward and see this as a chance of a new beginning, of learning new skills, perhaps.
I think that you've really touched on something that is so important for us to emphasize. And that is that we choose where we put our focus, we choose where our energy goes, and as light workers, as those who perhaps even don't see themselves as light workers or healers in this world, but are listening to this broadcast, you are here because you're being called to do exactly that. Focus your energy where it will heal, where it will grow, and where it can flow and touch those in need, including ourselves. We must come into this acceptance. And again, we come back to that self-compassion. We must accept that we are the divine incarnate, right? We are here as its feet, hands, eyes, ears, but we're also here as its heart. And so as we begin to love as it loves, we must love above. We have got to set aside all those distractions, all those details, the drama, like you said, not because we're saying it doesn't exist, but because where we do the most good for all of mankind, for humanity itself and beyond into all of the other dimensions of existence, is to focus on being this energy of love that is filled with light and the only energy that has the capacity to create. And what we want to create is, of course, healing and avenues for every being to reconnect to that very same source, exactly, to remember who they are.
Exactly. And I think this time now is a time where we as individuals can ask yourself, who actually am I in this world? Who am I as a child of God? What are my gifts? What are my talents? What can I give to the world now to inspire other people to perhaps, and or encourage other people to do the same? And I think this is also for the religious leaders, for example, who through doctrine have imprisoned people sometimes. Yes. kept them in line by a punishing God. You know, I think, you know, I want to open this up and say the religious leaders of all different traditions, let's just get together and see that there is a loving God who wants to create.
Correct.
Yeah. And I think that is our time at the moment for us to see that bigger picture, to encourage humanity.
Tell me, Charlotte, you have a wonderful program that you've created. It's called the Temple of My Soul. How does this relate to what we're talking about? And by the way, audience, this program is absolutely free to you. Okay, Charlotte, you're so generous and your heart is so loving. It's amazing. Tell me how the Temple of My Soul will help people to address all these issues that they're dealing with now, how each of those who work with other people can recommend this program, and what will it give people now that is so important that they receive?
I mean, I sort of thought about it and I thought, what can I do during this time? There are all these families, there are so many women, perhaps single men, they're in their houses, they are isolated, and what can I give them to perhaps help them grow and look at some of the issues in their lives and perhaps use this time to heal. That's exactly what it is. Help people to heal. So I have decided that I'm going to go over 2 months. I'm going to give a taster for completely free and it's the first 4 chapters of my 12 chapter course. And it's called The Temple of My Soul, as you said. And it's a course that helps people to heal from a life damaged from a distorted body image.
Mm.
Now, that goes all back to my childhood because I was bullied as a child and as a youngster and a young woman and for being fat and I suffered and I became addicted to food and it was just a terrible time. And I have written a course to help people heal from these thoughts and actually fall in love with the temple of their soul, or to all fall in love with their own bodies. But that's a process, because sometimes, you know, our habits, our thoughts, they go back way, 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 way. And I help people to unpack things. And actually, I'm leading them, I'm guiding them onto a journey of discovery within. And sometimes when I looked back, when I was healing from this, I thought my life is lost. There are parts of my life that are just lost because I was so unhappy about my shape and I was always beating myself up. But you know, these are not lost. And the amazing thing is that your usefulness comes back. And isn't this amazing that in this time, and that's why I'm also so passionate about this course, in this time where we have an opportunity and also the time because we are isolated, you know, and we're in lockdown, we have the time to look at some of these issues and these parts of our lives that were damaged and to heal from them and come out at the other end and blossom. That's why I'm so passionate about it.
What I like about this also is that its starting point is right where most people first look, right? So very often, you know, when we start to look at ourselves, our attention is immediately drawn to our physical body. And depending on the messages that we have about it or we believe, we either begin right in that moment to reject ourselves or to accept ourselves and to be able to work then towards loving ourselves. And the journey that begins with that physical aspect very often is exactly the perfect starting spot in order to go within and to take the journey of reconnection to you as source. And so It is a spiritual journey, and it is a journey that is one that most of us can't even imagine the impact of, right? But we do know that we're so unmerciful when it comes to our bodies, and it's impossible for us to find mercy for ourselves on a spiritual level without starting to respect, honor, and accept the body as it is, yes, and move forward. So yeah, it's incredible, and what a beautiful opportunity this is for people to begin that journey of loving themselves and really making a difference in the worlds that they create around them. Yes. So I want all of our listeners to know that all of those links are going to be right here. I encourage you to take advantage of this incredible program. What did you want to say?
And you will get email access, because, you know, we're going back into all sorts of pain from the past and so on. And I do not want people to just have to cope with this by themselves. So they will get the support from me, because I know how difficult it can be. But I tell you what, it is also incredibly liberating. Mm. And meditations, you know, and I have some people who are afraid to look in the mirror, into the mirror. Sure. And I have a special meditation where actually people can create their own mirror and befriend the mirror. And it's quite powerful. It's incredibly powerful. And I just hope that as many people as possible are walking away from this time of perhaps great unrest and sadness and worry and uncertainty, healed and start to blossom. Mm.
I want to thank you so much for being here today, Charlotte. Charlotte Common, and trust me, there is nothing common about you whatsoever. But I want to thank you. I believe that we have together created an incredible opportunity for a huge impact on the world today through our conversation, through the love that we have brought to this session, to our intention to be a resource and to give people the foundation of knowingness and, of course, forever being able to tap into that hope and faith that indeed we are loved and cherished and constantly supported. So thank you so much, Charlotte, for being here. And I look forward to speaking with you again, as I do each and every time. And for all of our listeners, I want to encourage you, please, if you've been touched by this program today, to leave your comments, leave your encouragement for us, and support, and let us know what else you might want from us, because we're here to be in service. So again, all of Charlotte's links will be right here with the program. But Charlotte, please just tell people how they can reach you should they have any situation where they, you know, are just listening to this and don't see the links.
Okay, so you can reach me through my website. There is an email address there, so it's www.charlottecommon.com. It's very easy. And Marcy, I just want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for this heartfelt conversation. And I'm sending you and all your listeners warmth and love from my soul to yours.
Mm. Thank you so much. Have a wonderful, wonderful day or evening wherever you are when you're listening to this. And just remember that you are loved and cherished beyond all measure. Until next time, we'll see you soon. Bye-bye.